Hi friends, welcome to my weekly teaching videos. Hey, in a moment I'm going to jump into week three of my teaching, all from my new book, The Promise. I've been talking for a few weeks about living from the promises of God and how to build a life based foundationally on the promises of God. Really great teaching. And this week I'm going to be talking about what happens when our faith fails, when we believe for something and it doesn't seem to happen. I know you've had this. We all have, but we can learn from it and move through it and move into a place of victory, I believe. Good. Let me do a 30-second announcement. You can time me starting now. Hey, real quick, if you're not familiar with my ministry, check out the links below. Lots of things going on. Probably the best way of keeping in touch is my email newsletter, link below. Again, if you don't yet have a copy, thank you for everybody who's bought this. We have sold thousands of these already. The Promise by Graham Jones. I have an offer. You can get this for $3 on Kindle just this week, or a paperback Dead Tree version. And lastly, if you don't yet know Jesus, if you've stumbled across this video, I'd love to talk to you about what it means to start a relationship with Jesus. Drop me a line or a prayer request in the comments below, and I promise you I will get back to you. Good. Boom. So just a quick recap. We began yesterday by saying your faith will be tested. Jerry Savelle used to preach a sermon years ago that was called From Amen to There It Is. Now, what in effect he was trying to convey is we all love those moments where we pray and bang, something happens immediately. Thank God for those times, for those moments. I love those, got lots of those testimonies. And I enjoy those, and I believe we're going to see more and more of those in our life. And yet really, faith is, there is a faith that you can pray and something will happen instantly. Wonderful. There is also the real faith really comes into its own, I would say, when we learn to pray and believe we have received before we see it, smell it, feel it, taste it, and touch it. When we're actually simply standing on God's word, God's promises, and saying, Lord, I thank you, this is now done. And I want to read a verse that will be familiar to many of you. Hebrews 6:12 says, do not be lazy. Do not be sluggish, the King James, I believe it says. It says, be followers or imitators, or literally pursue those who through faith and patience inherit promises. Don't be lazy, but be followers of those who through faith and patience inherit promises. I love this verse. I could teach on this for weeks. I think firstly, let me begin here. But the Lord loves us and we're in Christ Jesus and we're saved by the blood of Jesus. But I do believe at a practical level, we're often very lazy in our faith. We're inactive in our faith. God wants us to be in peace. Amen. And yet active and invested in our faith at the same time. It's not enough to go, oh, I'm just believing God. I remember years ago when I first began traveling after my wife and I were married. We're living in Paris, France, and I had an older car, about a 12-year-old vehicle, and I'm traveling literally all over Europe. We once drove 3 days to Romania, drove twice to Romania, actually. You know, I'd drive all the way from France, take the ferry to England, all the way up to the north of England, into ferry to Ireland, and I'm just putting miles and miles on this car, and a day came when, you know, I'd had a few issues with the car, and I decided, hey, I'm going to believe God for a new car. And I believed it, and I felt it would be appropriate for me to put it in my newsletter. So I put it in my newsletter, we are believing God for a new car. And for about a year, I kept this in my newsletter, we're believing God for a new car. After a while, you know, every month I'd kind of reprint it and not particularly even notice it was still there from the last month. And one day, about 18 months later, I'm driving in Northern Ireland. I'm driving to the city of Derry or Londonderry, and a pouring rain in Northern Ireland. And as I'm driving, suddenly the Holy Spirit spoke to me and he said, Graham, take those lies off your newsletter. And I was offended, like, lies? I'm not putting lies on my newsletter. I'm not exaggerating. Like, what are we talking about here? And suddenly the Lord reminded me, he said, you said we're believing for a car. And I said, and the Lord said, you're not believing for a car. You haven't thought about it for 6 months. While this old clunker's still going, You're quite happy to drive this. It hasn't even occurred to you. You're lazy with your faith. You're lazy with my promises. And I remember just pulling my car into a little rest area, again, pouring with rain, and saying to the Lord, Lord, I'm sorry, you're right. My bad. My sin. I've been lazy. What do I do? And the Lord said, two choices. You can either take it off your newsletter or activate your faith. Take your faith out of the closet. Don't be lazy. Take your faith back to the gym. Begin working out with your faith. Work out your salvation. And I remember getting out of my car in the rain just because I literally wanted to mark the moment. And I said, Lord, forgive me. And I am now believing for a car. And for the rest of that journey, it was only about 15, 20 minutes, I praised and thanked him that by faith I had a new car. Do you know, it's a true story. I arrived at the church, at a home where I was speaking at in Derry that evening. The pastors of the church literally said, we've been praying and we believe God wants us to give you and your wife our car. It was a lovely car. It wasn't brand new. It was about 3 years old, I think. And it was great. And my wife and I, we had that vehicle for about 8 years. Again, put a load of miles in it. It was great. We got to sew it into the lives of somebody else in the end when we came to America. And it was a really great car. Yeah? Now, come on. Here's my encouragement to you. Number one, don't be lazy. So often we have faith failures and our immediate response is to blame God. You know, I've noticed there is a culture in evangelical Christianity where it's a really big truth within us. And I like this. I have no problem with this, but it's a truth. We don't like blaming people for their faith. We pray for somebody and they're not healed. I've never once in my life heard somebody turn to somebody in a wheelchair and say, "Ooh, you don't have enough faith. I blame you for your faith." We socially don't want to do that. And I'm good with that. Amen. And yet what we do is, because we don't want to blame the person, and we shouldn't be putting blame and shame on anybody, we in effect start blaming God. We start saying, well, because you weren't healed, well, maybe God's trying to teach you something. Maybe there's something deep going on here you're not seeing. Maybe. And I tell you, I'm not casting stones at anybody other than myself. But so often we are lazy or sluggish with the promises of God. We engage with them emotionally for an hour or two or a day or two. We're like, yeah. Can I tell you, that's that emotion, that ooh, I'm really believing God, that's not faith. That is emotion. That is enthusiasm. It's not wrong. It's a good thing. But faith comes by hearing the word of God. Faith comes by having God's word lived and lodged on the inside of your heart. When Abraham believed God for a child, Abraham and Sarah, you know, there were several junctures where God came and spoke to him. I'm sure the day after, Abraham was buzzing. He was alive. He went down to Babies R Us, to Motherka, to buy baby clothes, and he was all alive at this. And yet after day, month after month, year after year, his faith would often flag. His faith would lag. His faith would sink. The Bible talks about Abraham being in this battle where he's got God's promises on one side of the equation, and then he's got a mirror on the other, and he looks at his own flesh. He looks at Sarah, her age, the deadness of her womb, and he struggled. He was caught betwixt two. So, come on, I'm going to carry on and give you a pathway to get out of this situation. But I think there's a real key in this verse. The Bible says, imitate, be followers of those who through faith and patience inherit promises. And I have a really simple question for you today. I want you to think about this and reflect on this all day long. Who are the people in your life who know Jesus better than you do, who've maybe been around this stuff a little longer than you have, who have a track record of the faith producing real and tangible results? Those are the people you should follow. Can I challenge you? Don't go to a church because it's got a beautiful lawn or $1 million building or a light show or cool kids promises. Go to a church that's led by men and women whose faith has inherited promises. And we need people like that in our life. We need them at an experiential level in our life. We need to spend time with people like that. We need to fellowship around that. I think we can also spend time with people via a book. I have some heroes of my faith. I have some people, I follow their faith, and they died hundreds of years ago. But they, being dead, yet speak. I read their books. I listen to the, I have some MP3s now that I've made of old cassette messages recorded in the 60s, 70s, 80s that nourish, that feed my faith. The kind of things literally I listen to at least once a year, listen with a notepad and a pen because they're incredible. They're poorly recorded. The quality is not great, but that's not my goal and aim in listening to them. My goal and aim is to follow those who through faith and patience inherit promises. So I encourage you, find those people in your life. When you find them, they'll help you circumnavigate. They'll help you understand that journey through the rocks, through the passage where so often the ship of our faith will sink. Guys, more about this tomorrow. Well, thank you, friends, for watching all the way to the end. Again, I'd love to hear from you. If you've got a prayer request or a comment, put them in the comments below. Lots of things going on in my ministry, churches in New England, my traveling ministry. Again, too many things to mention here. I really would encourage you to sign up for our email newsletter. Again, link below. And let me remind you, you can pick up a copy of this book on Amazon. We have an offer on Kindle right now, or you can get the paperback version. Thank you for watching, guys, and I'll see you real soon. Hit the subscribe button if you are on YouTube. Bye for now.